So, to start, I thought we would talk just a little bit about what the exile in Egypt was. And it does follow on from last week where we were talking about individually, how the story of the Seder and the way it develops, it describes our own descent into exile and how we can now we can climb out of exile. But in the big picture, God says to Abraham, "Yodoya teida ki ger yezarecho be'eretz lo'elohem." You should know that your descendants, your seed, your children are going to be strangers in a land that's not theirs, and they're going to be worked and slaved for 400 years and so on. So the expression that God uses to Abraham when he gives him this prophecy is Yodoya Teda. Yodoya Teda. Surely, know surely. Of course, we've said many times that the meaning, the real translation is Yodoya Teda, you should know that you know. Because what God was telling Abraham is that your children won't know that they don't know. Because going down into Egypt was the golus of das, it was the exile of knowing. And really, it followed on from the eating of the tree of knowledge. As soon as we ate from the tree of knowledge, then knowledge itself went into exile, and it was as though there was a new knowing that came into the world. Of course, it manifested itself in shame. As soon as Adam and Chava eat from the tree of knowledge, they're ashamed of their nakedness. God says, does this mean, who told you you're naked? Does this mean that you've eaten from the tree of knowledge of which I commanded you not to eat? So there's something that happens in the eating of the tree of knowledge. Before Adam and Chava ate of the tree of knowledge, they were connected to the wisdom of God. That's all they knew. And they didn't know that they knew it. It's like being a part of, imagine you could be a clarinet, being part of a performance of the most beautiful piece of music, and you are the clarinet, right? So just imagine you could be a clarinet that is aware of the music. What would you be aware of, as you yourself are resonating, as somebody is playing you, right? The musician is playing you, and that being played by the musician brings you as an instrument into an awareness of the music. Can you imagine such a thing? That is what it was like to be Adam HaRishon and Chava, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They were the instruments that God was blowing. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chaim. God blows into Adam. He blows the breath of life, and Adam becomes nefesh chaya, ruach memalo. He becomes this speaking soul. And what does Adam speak? He speaks what God is blowing into him. And what is Adam aware of? The words. He's aware of what God is saying. That is what he's aware of. And he's aware of being the instrument that God is playing. And ultimately, what's filling Adam HaRishon's mind is the sound of God's music. And this we call Chochmah. What Adam HaRishon and Chava are connected to, or the Sefirah, is that which we call the Chochmah Elo'ah, the supernal wisdom. And what it really, it's just a word, but what it really describes is the flow coming from God. And it's as though God blows out of himself, breathes out of himself, that breath which ultimately blows into the nostrils of Adam and Chava. And this long line of breath which goes through a myriad and infinity of changes that we've been learning for the last year and a half in the Sefer Yetzirah, how the breath of God becomes the Ruach and the Mayim and the Eish and so on. It becomes Adam. And Adam was aware in the music, in the word of God, he's aware of God speaking. There was no room for Adam himself to detach and not be thinking about the music. It's like the musical instrument, while it is being played, even if the musical instrument were aware, self-aware, like Adam and Chava were self-aware, there would be no room in their awareness for self-awareness. Because if the clarinet could hear itself, it could only hear itself playing the music that is being blown through it by the musician, and could only hear the music of the orchestra and the composer, and could only be aware of that composition. By eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, Adam now knows something that he could not have known before. And that is, he knows himself as a individual who is not part of the music and is not part of the composition and is not aware because the musician is blowing through him, but is aware, alive, an individual. Because this is an incomparable state of being with that which he enjoyed earlier. Because Adam can no longer hear the sound of Chochmah. He's disconnected from Chochmah. He can't hear, he can't be in that state of simple awareness that he enjoyed earlier. Because now, he can only really hear himself, his own thoughts. So, this is the loss that occurred to us and all the human race when Adam and Chava ate from the tree of knowledge. It's the Eitz Hadas. It's the tree of knowing of good and evil, because from now on there can never really be a moment that a human being gets back into that music and into the connection with the divine and the flow of Chochmah coming from God and that breath which God is breathing out, not while you're alive. And in fact, just to digress for a moment, as we learned in the Sefer Yetzirah, death is really the only way that we can get back to that original awareness. And so death is not a punishment for eating of the tree of knowledge. But God says to him, the only way you're ever going to enjoy that experience again is by losing touch with your physical body and going back into the original connection. So Adam and Chava have broken that connection. The connection with Ma, the connection with Chochmah, which is the Sefirah of Ma. Another way of understanding Chochmah is Yesh Mi'ayin, something from nothing. What? What is it? What is Chochmah? You know, the closest you can get is the question. What? The sphere of being is associated with me, Mem Yud, which means who. If we're asking who, we know a whole lot. There's a person with a name. I mean, if you're asking who, you're assuming a lot. But if you're asking Ma, Mem Hey, what, there you can never know. And so the main difference between the spheres of Chochmah and Bina is this really essential, the He and the Yud, right? Mem He says Ma, Memyutz is me. And it's the difference between what and who. As a result of the eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Chava felt really bad. It's hard to know whether they were blaming one another, or whether simply they couldn't meet each other's gaze because of what they had lost, or whether they were angry with one another, or whether they were enraged at themselves. But as a result of eating of the tree of knowledge, Adam and Chava were separated for 130 years, until Adam was given some kind of new sexuality, Vayeda Adam Oides Chava Ishtoi, and he knew, he had knowledge of Chava again, and they gave birth to a son called Sheth, or Seth, from whom we are all descended. But for 130 years, Adam and Chava were separated from one another, and all the souls that should have been born during their marriage came into the world disembodied and confused and without the tools to grow and develop and become whole. And these are the souls of the Jewish people who went down into Egypt, who really don't have the tools of intimacy. And this, you know, when they come down to Egypt, Yosef takes his father Yaakov to meet Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, Kama yimei shnisecha, how many are your days? How old are you, Jacob? And Jacob says, Your Majesty, my life has been a mess, and it's just been one long bitter struggle, but I'm 130 years old. So Yaakov Avinu in Canaan has gone through 130 years measuring or corresponding to the 130 years that Adam and Chava were separated in the Garden of Eden. You know, as they came into Egypt, Yocheved was born. The Torah tells us that they came down to Egypt with Yaakov's 70 souls, but if you count, there are only 69. The Gemara says, who's the 70th? Yocheved was born as they were entering Egypt. No. The Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old when he stood in front of Pharaoh. So 210 years later, Moshe Rabbeinu is 80 years old. So how old was his mother, Yocheved, when she gave birth to Moshe? 80 from 210 is 130. So Yocheved was again 130 years old when she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. This number, 130, keeps on coming up, and it has to do with the loss of intimacy. So what was the beginning of the end of the Exodus? So the Torah, the Gemara tells us that when Pharaoh decreed that all the Jewish boys be drowned at birth, Amram publicly divorced Yocheved, and he said, we can't bring children into a world like this. So the Gemara says, if Amram and Yocheved, who were like the leaders of the generation, and they divorced, so all the Jewish men and Jewish women got divorced. So Miriam comes to her father and she says, you know, Daddy, you're worse than Pharaoh. Pharaoh only wants to, you know, kill the boys, but if you don't marry my mother again, you know, you're going to kill everything dead. If you marry my mother again and you have a child with her, this child is going to be the savior. And Miriam prophesied that they would give birth to Moshe. And because Amram understood that Miriam was a prophet, even though she was only 6 years old, he publicly married Yocheved. So, the Medrash says, what happened? That when Yocheved and the women decided to remarry the husbands, their husbands were not really very enthusiastic about it, and besides not having a great enthusiasm for bringing more children in the world, they weren't really enthusiastic about marital relations. They were worn out. They had a horrible time. So the Medrash says that what did the women do? They went down to the river Nile and they put their water jugs into the river, and God made all these fish. The fish swam into these water jugs that the Jewish women took down to the water to draw water. The women brought up the water jugs full of fish, and they sold some of it and they bought wine. And with some of it, they cooked. And so they came to their husbands in the fields when they had a break, and they said, "Come, let's have a picnic." So the miracle was that each couple found themselves alone in an apple orchard, and the apple trees were full of blossoms, and when the apple trees are heavy with blossoms, then the branches come down all the way to the ground and make like a canopy. So each of these couples had their own little chuppah made of apple trees, and this is why the Shekhinah is, one of the names of the Shekhinah is Chakel Tepuchin Kadishin, the field of holy apples. And so here the husband and wife are sitting alone, and they've had a lunch she made of seafood, and the Medrash says that the women took out their mirrors and they started to make up their face. Making up their face, they say, a woman says to her husband, "Who's more beautiful, me or you?" So he says, "Well, I don't know, let me look in the mirror." So the husband and wife are looking at each other in the mirror. And the Gemara says that that broke the barrier of intimacy. And so husband and wife were intimate with one another, and this is how the Jewish people was conceived. Tachas ha-tapuach or ha-ticho, beneath the apple tree, there I aroused you, shama chiblosim mecho, it's a posuk in Shir HaShirim. And so later, when the women wanted to donate something to the temple fund, they brought these mirrors, and Moshe didn't want to accept the mirrors. But God said to Moshe, "These mirrors are more important or more precious to me than all the other offerings that have been brought to the temple, because these are the mirrors that established the Jewish people." Why is the mirror so important? Because there's something about intimacy that was broken since the time of Adam and Chava. Since it had been thousands of years since Adam and Chava were thrown out of the Garden of Eden, but something about intimacy was broken, and that Chava, Yocheved, who reaches out to Amram and she says to him, "Look at me in the mirror, let me see you in the mirror, look at both of us." Maybe that's the beginning of the healing of the rift, of the break, of the wound, is to see yourself mirrored in somebody else. Or maybe the healing comes from seeing yourself and somebody else in the mirror. There was something it was a momentous occasion that Yocheved and Amram and all the men, all the couples, all the women, they had a moment of divine, of divinity. And underneath the apple trees, the Jewish people was conceived. And this is the meaning of the charoisis, the main ingredient of the charoisis is the apples that we chop in memory of that beginning. And so Moshe Rabbeinu is born from that attempt to achieve intimacy and to fix the rift that had happened between Adam and Chava all those generations previously. This, last week we were talking about how, you know, many of us, we have these myths that we carry around about how broken we are and how much we have to hide and you know, and how important it is not to let anybody see and how we have to grab for ourselves and so on, and that the process of going through the Seder is that we counter these myths and we say, "No, God chose me, God made me the way I am, and I can be known and I can have my needs met, and my greatest need is love." And here in parallel, we have the story of how this rift, how the break happens, not just in us as individuals, but that it's part of the human condition, going back to the eating of the tree of knowledge, that there's something about intimacy that is a struggle, and that it's not something that just comes naturally, and that we can just each of us be given, unless we get in unconditional love. Sure. If a person is born and his parents can give him unconditional love, you know, Shlomi used to say by a bris, the baby's crying, and everybody says, "Kishem shenichnis na bris, ken yikonis l'toyre l'chup l'masim toivim." Just as he has entered into the covenant, the circumcision, so he should enter into the Torah, go to cheder, and the yeshiva, and the chuppah. So Shlomi used to say, you know, by a bris, nobody's shouting at the baby. Right? Nobody's saying, all right, enough crying already, you know, it's like, it's not all about you, you know, it's time to think of other people. I was there, but Reb Shlomo Baumgarten he was a famous moel, he was a Rebbe, who came from Vienna, from the Shifshul, from before World War II, he was a famous rabbi, and he was a moel. And there he is doing the bris, and the baby poops. And his beard, his beautiful white beard, is full of poop. Right? And he's smiling, you know. And his good job, he'd have just made the bracha already, right? Because otherwise he would have had to stop. I remember it was a Shabbos, and he was trying to clean his beard of poop and his, you know. And how can he do this without using soapy water? Yeah, he's wiping himself with a towel, with a smile on his face. And you know, we say kishem shenichnes labris, just like the baby entered into the covenant. What's so special? Unconditional love. There's not one person said, you know that baby, you know, he's baby, it's time that he should be trained. You know, like, I don't think he should get away. You know, nobody would think such a thing, right? We stand there and say kishem shenichnes labris, kein yikonis letoy lechop lemazim toim. If we could really follow through with that, you know, and bring up our children and be brought up in such a way with a level of acceptance that we have for a baby who's 8 days old, then we would all grow up without these splits inside the self that we have to deal with. Like the Piasetzner Rebbe, you know, the Klonimus Kalmish, if you ever have a chance, you get hold of the book Sacred Fire. He was a Rebbe of children, right? Because he used to say, if the child doesn't have by the age of 6 a Rebbe, like, when's it going to happen? By the time you're 18 years old, it's too late. The kind of love that he could give, right? He could see as he was getting older that people need it when they're younger and younger. Because it's never too early to get unconditional love, right? And of course, it's never too late. So, most of us, we have to deal with reality the way it is in this age. And that means that most of us have wounds, whether they're self-inflicted wounds or other inflicted wounds. But we have to struggle to achieve intimacy. So here we are at the Seder. The idea of the charoses, you know, that we take our bitterness, and we dip it inside the charoses to know that this is part of the healing. What do we have to do with the moror? If you take a piece of horseradish and you bite into it, it can take your breath away. It's like really, the chemicals that are in there, it's like, it's really bitter. You know something? If you keep chewing it, it gets sweet. And that's what we have to do with life, you know? You have to keep chewing your moror until it turns sweet. Another thing, it occurred to me, everybody knows we talk about the four questions, Manishtana, have a look at Manishtano. What does it say? Manishtano alayla zemikal alaylois. Why is this night different from all other nights? Shebechal alaylois ono oichlim chometz matzah. And so on. That's five questions. Manishtano halaylo azeh is a question. Or, it's not. Maybe it's just one question with four, like, sub-clauses. Oh, this, why is this night different? Oh, and then you, I'll tell you how, you know, I've noticed the night is different, see? But then it's only one question. So I want to say that the first statement, Manishtano halaylo azeh, is not a question at all, but a statement. Manishtano halaylo azeh. We just said a little while ago that the sphere of Chochmah is the sphere of Ma. That if we could only connect with the sphere of Chochmah, we would be right back there before we ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So the Baal HaGadol says, he doesn't say Lama, why is this night different? Or Eich Nishtana Halala, how is this night different? He says Ma, the Chochmah, the sphere of Chochmah, Nishtana Halaylo Hazeh. And so, how it's different, well, it's different in many ways, it's full of paradoxes. The main thing about it is that if we want, we can connect with the sphere of Chochmah. And it's true that it's not a permanent connection. Because that's the thing about Seder night, that it's a gift, that on Seder night anybody can receive prophecy. Anybody can connect with the divine. Anybody can have Gilu Shechina. You can get to the highest place. You can get back to the place that Adam and Chava were before they ate from the tree of knowledge. And that is the meaning of Gilu Shechina, the revelation of the divine. And that's the meaning of Manishtano Halaylo Hazeh, because tonight, Seder night, Ma is changed. And so we see, if we have a look at the four sons, the Chocham, normally we translate it Chocham Mahu Oimer, what does the Chocham say? Mena, that's not what the Baal HaGadol means. Chocham Mahu Oimer, the Chocham is also trying to connect with Ma, and so is the Rosha, Rosha Mahu Oimer, and Tam Mahu Oimer. Each of them in their own way. And you know the word Ma is used in the Torah in different ways. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, when they were being bothered by people were asking a lot of them, Moshe says, V'nachdu Ma kisalinu aleinu. What are we that you have complaints at us? V'nachdu Ma. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't think of anything less than. And in fact, the Gemara says that you can see the greatness of Moshe, that Avraham, when he was being humble, he said, "Anochi ofer ve'efer, I'm just, what am I? I'm dust and ashes, right? But Moshe Rabbeinu is such an honor, he's so humble. He says, "V'nachnu ma, we are what?" So the Chocham, I want to say, he uses the word Ma in the way that Moshe Rabbeinu uses it. And he says, Ma ha'edus v'hachukim ha'mishpotim. What are these? It's no big deal. He belittles the chukim and the edim and the mishpotim. He says, it's no big deal. I could do this on my own. So what do we say to him? We say to him, Kehilchus ha'pesach, just like Pesach you can't make on your own. You can't make matzah on your own. You can't make the Korban Pesach on your own. You have to accept other people. And that you can't just be intimate with yourself, because human beings need other people. And Ein Maftirin Acha Pesach Afikoymen, you have to keep the taste of the Seder with you all the time. And then we come to the Rosha. He also uses the word Mo. Rosha Mohu Oymen. He also uses Mo. He says, he uses the word Mo in exactly the opposite way that the Chocham uses it. A because the Chacham only thinks he's a Chacham, and the Rosh Nebuch, he thinks he's a Rosh, right? What does he say? He says, Mo Avoda Zois Lachem. He uses the word Mo the way Yaakov Avinu uses it when he says, Manoiro HaMokayim HaZeh, how awesome is this place. The Chacham, the Rosh, he can't imagine that he could possibly achieve the level of Ma. He says, Mahu Havoida Zois Lachem. So the Baal HaGadol says, Lochem v'loy loy. You know, I want to say, if I have one Torah that I take away from the Haggadah, you know, you made some Echidushim on the Haggadah, which is the one that you want to take with you? This is the one I want to take with me to the Olam HaEmes. Normally, everybody says, Rosh Mahu Oime, the Rosh is a great Rosh Nebuch, and he says, Ma Avoda Zois Lachem, what is this work for you? Lachem v'loy loy, for you, not for him, lefi sha'itzim, because he's excluded himself, so therefore he's like, he's lost. I want to say just the opposite. Lachem v'loy loy, for you, and not for him. That is his problem. He thinks it's for you and not for him. Ilohoy sham loyhoy nigal, this is how this little paragraph ends. Had he been there, he wouldn't have been redeemed, because he's excluding himself. And I want to read it with a question mark. Ilohoy sham loyhoy nigal. Had he been in Egypt, wouldn't he have been redeemed? What's his problem? He thinks he's so bad, Nebuch. Has he got any idea what we were like? In fact, that's why God did this all these miracles for me when I came out of Egypt. You think God did it for me and not for him? I was at the 49th gate of Tumah, right? The Medrash says, had we been there one second, split second, we would never have been able to get. We would have gone to the 50th gate of Avodah Zorah and Atuba, right? We were so low, we were as low as a human being could get and still be breathing, right? There was no step lower than that. We would have been dead, right? We had taken that elevator, that spiritual elevator, down into the basement, the sub-basement, down into the... We'd gone into the bowels of the earth. There was nowhere lower to go. So the Rosha, when he says, Mo, Ho Avoda Hazois Lachem, how do you do this? It's like, Leave Eloi Loi. Doesn't he realize that had he been there, he would have just been one of us? And then you get the Tam. The Tam just says, Ma Zois. You know, without going into the longer Riches, the word Zois, where do we find the word Zois? You know, the first time something appears in the Torah, that's the headquarters of that thing. The word Zois is the first word that Adam HaRishon said. He said, Zois HaPam, Vayomer Zois HaPam. The word Zois is a metaphor for the Shekhinah, right? Zois is a feminine. Ma Zois, the Tam, whom we think of as the simple one, he has the most profound. He's like a child, you know. Children, they say the most profound things. Ma Zois. You know what? You know what Chochmah is? It's Zois. It's this. This is the breath that God breathed into Adam. Adam spoke. What was the first word Adam spoke? It was Zois. And then finally we come to She'eni Yedei Lishol. There's a sweet Torah from the Piasetzner. He says, She'eni Yedei Lishol at Psachloi. You have to open things for him and you have to tell him what happened, because he's already reached that stage of not even being able to connect to a question. So the Piasetzner says, why does it say at Psachloi, you in the feminine, and not at in the masculine, like ato? So he says, you know, sometimes somebody asks you a question and the question is so profound that it triggers something inside you. It triggers the Chachma inside you. I wonder if you could press the number 6 on your phone and mute it. Thank you. At Psachloi, because the She'eni Yodeh Lishal doesn't know how to ask, you know, the greatest gift that you could have is somebody who asks you the right question, because there's something in the process of being asked a question that opens you up. And that is why the sphere of Chochma is called the sphere of Ma, because the word Chochma is like the phrase Koyach Ma, the question, the power of the question. Because that's what, you know, sometimes somebody asks you a question and all of a sudden you find yourself answering, you've accessed stuff you didn't even know you knew yourself. Where does that happen? How does that happen? It's the Koyach Ma, it's the power of the question, because it connects you with what, and even the person that you're now answering, he doesn't even understand what you're saying, right? But he asked you the right question. What we used to call in the yeshiva, a bomba kasha. Some questions are like bombs. They go off in your head and they open everything for you. And you connect. And She'eni Yodeh Lishal Nebuch, the Pius Etzner says, At Psachloi, he doesn't even ask you the right question, so you are at the level of At rather than Ato. I bless you and me that we make Pesach Seder night with our families, and that we each, in our own way, merit to be asked the question that opens us up to the power of Ma, to the sphere of Chochma, and we once again manage to make music and we become the instrument through which God plays the symphony that is humanity in such a way that we forget about ourselves and we just become transparent to God, which means to say that people looking at us don't see us but see God, don't hear us but hear God. Bless you with a good yontif.